Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody. If you would please stand, we're going to start with number 428. 428. We have a guest pianist this morning. Cheryl? Is it Cheryl? Cherie. Glad to have her. Sounds great. Appreciate it.
Standing and Brother Sam Burton, will you lead us, please, in prayer? Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Good to see you this morning. Glad you're here for the preaching service. I see quite a few of the what we call the Wood family around here. Means somebody is absent today. I look out there and I see where some people who used to be sick or who are sick used to sit. And so that reminds me that we need to look in our bulletin at that long list of our sick folks. Again, it makes us look forward with great expectation to that time that's yet to come when we live in a land where the inhabitant cannot say, "I am sick." No more sickness, no more disease, no more death. That'll be wonderful when Jesus comes. Anyway, we're glad that you're here today, and we're looking forward to a great time in the Lord. Do keep those in prayer whose names are on our sick list, if you will, that God will raise them up. I talked to Brother Gene Rice last evening. He's doing pretty well after his open heart surgery. He's mending. That's about all we can say. He's eating regularly. He can't drive a car. Has to ride around with his wife. I don't know which would be the most stressful. Driving on these crowded freeways or riding as a passenger in a car being chauffeured by your wife. My wife beat me at the test the other day, so that gives me a little more confidence in her knowledge. I didn't say ability. Yeah. Anyway, that dent on her car was not put there by me. I'm going to drop the subject right there. Anyway, don't forget Thursday. What is Thursday? Huh? Come on. What is Thursday? Come on. We didn't talk about that. What's Thursday? You know what Thursday is. The first day of spring. That's right. Winter is going to be officially gone. No more ice storms. No more driving in the snow and on 6 inches of ice on the roads. No more looking out the window and seeing the trees' limbs breaking because of the heavy ice that's collected on them. All such as that. It's going to be springtime. Springtime is when the grass begins to grow. And the weeds, etc., etc. And you come to church without a coat on. And like this morning, this is perhaps the first, I didn't turn the heat on. You notice how comfortable it is in here? That's without heat. And that means that when we pass the offering plate, you won't have to give as much because our utilities are not going to be so high. See there? Always look at the bright side. All right. We missed the Bryants this morning. We're happy to have two piano players with us today, and we appreciate them. Appreciate Brother David being here to lead us in some more good singing. Come on, Brother David.
I was watching the morning program this morning, and they were talking about how when you start getting, a little bit older, you kind of have lapses in memory where you start saying something, and then you forget someone's name, or you forget the date, but they were, the person was talking about, it's because we have more in our brains when we get older. Younger people have less, so they can filter through it quicker. So I was just saying that because I noticed that I skipped a song this morning, and so I'm gonna put my glasses on and we'll try it again with number 652. I will sing the wonder story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wonder story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Yes, I'll sing the wonder story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's path I've often tread. But the Savior still is with me, by his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wonder story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
I think I got Pastor on that last one.
He started singing the other song. Oh, boy. Okay. Naomi, by any chance, do you have a special for us this morning?
Always.
Now would be great. And then we'll sing one more song and have our offering after that. Sounds good. All right.
No.
I threw her for a loop there.
I gave her the song.
she's got some noise.
Hello? 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 The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me from day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears. It drives away tears, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows valley, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Sing it with me, would you? It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows deepest valley, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose, it will never lose, it will never lose.
Thank you. Would you all stand, and for our offering, we'll sing number 430, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old, old story, how Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save us. His groaning of his precious blood atoning, then I repented of my sin.
Somehow Jesus came and brought to
I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to meet together in your house, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And today we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to be upon us, to touch each and every listening heart and ear today, that we might grow in grace and in knowledge of you. We pray, Father, that you will bless each one that gives this morning to your cause. And Lord, anoint that which is given. Multiply it like you did the loaves and the fishes, to be sufficient to those to whom it will go. And we will give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Preach this morning, I would like for Brother Johnny to come up and sing a song of praise and worship to the Lord for us.
Good morning, everyone. You know, like myself, there are things and times that we would like to forget. But I'm going to stand before you this morning and tell you something. There's something I never want to forget it as long as I'm living here. And that is November the 24th, 1985, when God in his mercy, through his precious son, saved my soul from sin. Amen. Oh, Pastor, amen. I had a smile this wide. I didn't even know what I was smiling about. But praise God anyhow. You know what? The glory that began to roll in my heart of life is still rolling today. Please. And I praise his precious name forevermore, for he is my Lord and my God. Now listen, I was praying that day, asking God to forgive me. I was deep in despair, had no peace within. I surrendered my all unto Jesus the Savior,
this hurricane now, I was saved from sin. Yeah, I'm flourished in Rome. I was happy and free. Then I heard sweet voice be pardon to me for the wonderful joy I was given within. When my Savior in love save me from my sin.
You know, as I was walking back to my seat, I thought I was walking away. I kept looking down. But then I realized later on that was all that sin that was lifted off me. I was free, my friend. Free indeed. Now listen.
I would praise His dear name for His wonderful victory and the joy in my heart all along the way. And I'm longing to see heaven's glorious city and to hear my Lord say, come and live with me. I'm glad in love. I was happy and free. When I heard sweet thoughts, they pardon to me. What a wonderful joy I was given with thee. When my Savior in love saved me from my sin. Oh, in the world in love, I was happy and free. When I heard it sweet voice, think pardon to me. Oh, what a wonderful joy I was given with thee. When my Savior in love, oh, save me from my sin. Oh, and save me from my sin.
Yes, He did, Pastor. Yes, He did. But Lord, I'm going to thank Him when I see Him again.
Thank you. Before I start preaching this morning, I want to introduce you to a lovely family that are visiting with us from a state over here to the east of us called Arizona. Any of you ever hear about that? Would you stand up, please, and introduce your family to us? We're so happy to have you all with us today. Amen. We appreciate you being here today with us in our service and for that good music that we had. Tonight in our evening service at 6 o'clock here, I'm going to continue in a Bible study kind of sermon that we started 2 or 3 weeks ago over in the book of Genesis. The first one was about the creation. Then the second one was about the lineage of Adam up to Noah. And then tonight we're going to talk about Noah and the flood that came. Now, there's not enough attention given to that particular incident. Not too much, not enough is being said about it. And too many people are ignorant of the first 1,656 years of this world's history. We just don't know enough about the past. But you can learn more about God by studying the past than any place else I know. And it's all in the Bible. Amen. A lot of people don't believe it because there are incidents in the Bible, including the flood, that are denied today by a lot of intelligent people. They claim to be intelligent. Goes right in. We're going to talk about the unicorns. We're going to talk about the dinosaurs. We're going to talk about giants that are dwelling on this earth. Giants who built the pyramids. And I have an idea that the people who lived back in the days when the pyramids were built out of those huge granite stones that today people still can't figure out how to move them, and particularly put them together in such a smooth way. Those giants back in those days could pick up one of those things like you and I can pick up a brick and sack it out here. We're going to talk about things like that tonight. We're going to talk about the flood. Bring your pencil and your Bible. Be ready to mark in the margins of your Bible, because we're going to give you names, dates, and places. And I think you'll appreciate that. Now this morning, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 13. Beginning in verse 6, our Lord Jesus Christ gives a short parable and we're going to look at it today with the help of the Holy Spirit and review our own personal lives and try to see them through the eyes of Christ as to their fruitfulness or their barrenness, whichever comes first. Listen at this. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree. We know what a fig tree is, don't we? It was planted in his vineyard. Now, vineyard is vines on which grapes grow. Strange place for a fig tree. But it's in a vineyard. And he, that is the certain man, we're going to find out that he's the owner of the field. He came and sought fruit thereon. He's looking for figs. It's a fig tree. He didn't go there looking for apples or oranges. He went to a fig tree looking for figs and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard. He has a man working there that does the work in the vineyard. He keeps the vines trimmed. He keeps the grass cut down. He farms the place, so to speak. He's the dresser of the vineyard. So the owner says to this fellow that's working for him, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. What's the conclusion? Cut it down. You see that? Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, now this is the employee that's talking back to his boss, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig around it and dung it, that's fertilize it, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. I want you to notice three basic steps here as we examine the fruitfulness of our lives. You and I are looked upon as we are the fig tree in God's vineyard. We're going to examine the text. What does it say? We're going to interpret the text. What does it mean? And we're going to apply the text. What does it matter? And under this third point, we're going to look at three fundamental truths that are expressed in this parable. Look for them. The Lord expects fruit. Number two, the Lord examines the fig tree for progress. And then third, the Lord extends opportunity to us. Now this is a parable, he tells us. This parable is an illustration that Jesus is using to make a point. Back in Jesus' day, think about that, 2,000 years ago, the people were, for the most part, engaged in agriculture. Now, I can understand this perhaps better than some of you younger ones, and I'll tell you why. I was raised on a farm back during the Depression days. That was back when you grew your own food. And my mother would cook it and serve it to us on a wood stove, from a wood stove. Now today, when you need some groceries, you go down to the grocery store and you buy whatever you want. It used not to be that way. Depending on the season, it might be cabbage season. During cabbage season, guess what we ate? A lot of cabbage. When the corn got ripe in the field, guess what we ate? Until it got so hard we couldn't boil it anymore. We had corn. And I couldn't tell you how many peas I've picked and shelled. We had a garden. We had turnips, radishes, onions, all sorts of stuff like that we grew. That's the way it was in Jesus' day. They got their food from the field. They were interested in raising crops. So Jesus talked an awful lot about crops. He talked about the condition of the soil. He talked about the rain coming at the right time. And he talked about droughts and famines. He talked about harvesting the crops and bringing it in and putting it in barns. Some of you may have been country folks with a farming background, you can identify with what he's saying. He talks about a vineyard of grapes and this fig tree that's growing in the vineyard. The owner sees a problem here. He has a tree that is producing no fruit. I remember Jesus ran across one like that during his ministry. You recall that? He got hungry for some figs. He saw this fig tree out there, had a lot of leaves on it. He went out there parting those leaves looking for figs. Not a one could he find. He didn't dig around it and fertilize it. He didn't give it another year. He placed a curse on it. And the next time they passed by that way, those disciples looked out there, and that tree was as barren as it could be. All the leaves had fallen off, and it was dead. This one here, we're going to spare it. The dresser, the owner said to the dresser, he says, I've come to this fig tree now for 3 years, and I've never seen any fruit that it has produced. Cut it down. It's just taking up room. Now let's look at this with some common sense. Can you blame him? It's been barren for 3 years, and he decides that it's time to cut it down. Now the dresser of the vineyard, he's the one that has done all the actual labor around that tree. And he's the one who hates to see it cut down. So he begins to intervene on behalf of this tree. He says, let's let it alone this year also. I'll dig around it, loosen the soil so the roots can have room to grow and nourish the tree. I'll fertilize it. I'll keep it watered. Maybe it will produce fruit yet. But if all of this labor that we're going to expend on this fig tree does not cause it to produce any fruit, we'll cut it down and make firewood out of it. I remember back in 1963 when we bought our house down here near 2nd and Palomar. All those houses were being built at that time, and we bought one of them. We got into that place, and it had been built where there had been a tomato field. The backyard, it had nothing in it. Not a blade of grass, not even a weed. And I decided, well, I better plant something here. Now, I didn't want a shade tree back there. I wanted something that was going to feed me. You know what I mean? So I didn't plant an oak tree or a pepper tree or a eucalyptus tree. The people that we bought it from had already planted a palm tree out in the front yard, and it didn't produce anything either. It grew up to be about 80 feet tall and got too expensive to get the limbs trimmed, you know. And so finally San Diego Gas and Electric came by and they said, Mr. Wetzel, would you like for us to take that palm tree out of your front yard? And I says, please do. And they did, and I'm so proud that I got rid of that palm tree. It got so high, I remember my granddaughter coming out from Colorado, and she was so excited about Grandpa's palm tree, and she wanted to take a picture of it, and she got out there, and she couldn't get close enough to it to get it in the lens, you know. So she went to the top of it, and she clicked, and then she came down and clicked some more, and came down and clicked some more. When she got through, she had 5 pictures from the top to the bottom. And after they got developed, you could take them and paste them together, you know, and you've got a picture about this long. The palm tree. But we got rid of it. And so I went out there in the corner of the yard, and I planted some fruit trees. I planted a Santa Rosa plum tree out there. And I'll tell you, some of you may remember it. That thing, it just turned to plums. It supplied our whole congregation with plums for 30 years. Oh, they were so good. One day, the termites got into the thing and killed it. Well, next to the plum tree, I planted a fig tree. Yeah, a fig tree. I love figs. And that fig tree, it produced. But the figs, that there was great big old bugs about this long, 3 inches long. And they would just cover that fig tree and eat those figs. And I couldn't get any figs off that tree. I had an apricot tree over here. Oh, I'll tell you, it just turned, it had more fruit on it than it had leaves. And I would watch it. I even bought a net and put over it. Oh, I love those apricots. But I never got to eat any of them. Because just about the time they started turning, there would be a swarm of birds come. There would be 100 to 150 of those things, and they would hit that little apricot tree, and when they left, it was as barren as this fig tree in our text. I planted an apple tree. Turned out to be a dwarf. Never got any higher than that. But that thing, the first year, it had apples on it. It thought it was a mixture of a vine, I think, because it had clusters of apples, 6 or 8 in one bunch, just kind of growing together. And they made the best apple pies you ever saw. But it died. I planted an orange tree out here. And it had good oranges on it. But it eventually died. I planted a pussy willow tree out there. Not too many people had them. I thought I would be different. I put it out there. Pretty little tree. But you know what? That thing bred worms. I went out there one day, and so help me, it had more worms on it than it did leaves. It was just covered with worms. And they ate all the leaves, of course. And so finally I took that one down too. I took them out. Now, this fella here has got a fig tree that's not producing anything. By the way, I've got one tree in my backyard now. I never have found out what kind it is. I was over at Brother Bryant's house one day, and he says to me, "Pastor, would you like to have a tree?" I said, "Yeah, I'll plant it." He went out there, had a little pot, and this little tree was about 8 inches tall. And I went out there, and I found a place in the backyard, and I planted it, and it started growing like a weed. I've had it there several years now, and it never has had anything on it but leaves. It reminds me of this fig tree. Nothing but leaves. It doesn't produce any fruit. But this parable that Jesus is talking about here is about the nation of Israel and its people, the Jews in particular. They're represented by this fig tree. And for 3 years, this nation of Israel had Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, their Messiah, dwelling in their midst. They were looking at Him, and Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And they were looking at Him, and they were watching His life, and He was producing fruit. He went about doing good. Three years, He was among them, ministering the word, preaching the kingdom, healing the sick and afflicted. They refused to accept Him. They refused to acknowledge Him as the Son of God. this was only a few months now before his crucifixion, they would see just a few more miracles, and they would hear just a few more sermons, because they were like the fig tree. They were living on borrowed time. Look back at history. They were given only 40 more years before Jerusalem was cut down like a barren, fruitless, non-productive fig tree. Their people would be scattered. Titus would come with his Roman armies in AD 70, and the city and the temple would be destroyed, and all of the homes in the city of Jerusalem would be burned to the ground. Now that's what it says. But what does it mean? What does that fig tree represent? What does it stand for? Have you ever noticed in reading your Bible that there are three trees in particular that represent the nation of Israel? Number one is the vine. I like what Jesus says in the Gospels, I am the true vine, the true vine. But when you go over and you read like in Psalm 80, verses 8 through 10, and you read in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 2 through 7, it just flat out tells you there that the nation of Israel is the vine. Then in Matthew chapter 21, we've got the nation of Israel as the fig tree. And then you turn over to Romans chapter 11, and you'll find a tree over there, an olive tree, that the nation of Israel is likened unto. Now, let me give you something to remember. When you're reading through your Bible and you run across a fig tree, you associate that fig tree with Israel. But at what time in Israel's history are they represented by the, let's go to the vine first. The vine represents Israel's past. When you read about the fig tree, it represents Israel's present. And when you read about the olive tree, as it represents Israel, it's talking about the future of the nation. Now that's beautiful whenever you get to reading in your Bible about this, because if the context is talking about Israel, the fig tree, you know that it's talking about what's going on right now over there in Israel. And when you read, particularly in the Old Testament, the prophecies concerning Israel, the nation, in the future, that's the olive tree. And their past is covered by the vine. Remember that. Now, the owner of this vineyard has been seeking fruit on this particular fig tree. Fig tree, present Israel, for 3 years. For 3 years, Jesus, the owner of the vineyard, has been trying unsuccessfully to get Israel to produce some spiritual fruit. They resisted his efforts. So now, it's time to cut it down. And they did. Oh, they did. I'll tell you, you go back and read about what Titus did to that city. God saying, Israel, your time is up. Their city and country was destroyed. 70 AD. And you know how long it stayed barren and waste? 1948. That's when the fig tree, Israel present, began to bloom, so to speak. Now, the application. What does it matter? They say that every text has two audiences. The original and the contemporary. Every scripture is written to someone. And every scripture is written for us. And preaching is important because preaching has to build a bridge between the two. What does it mean to us? What did it mean to them? How does it apply to us today? Here it comes. First of all, God expects fruit. The owner of the vineyard came, saw this barren fig tree growing in his vineyard. It had no fruit. We just gone through Genesis. We're still over there on in our evening service. We'll be talking about Noah tonight. A couple of weeks ago, we studied about the creation in Genesis chapter 1. Go back and look at it again. I did. Everything that God created, He expected it to be fruitful. Everything. The grass, the herbs, the fruit trees, all of your vegetable kingdom, bring forth after His kind. That means reproduce, be fruitful. And then He gets into the animal kingdom. He starts talking about the fishes that are in the streams and the lakes and the rivers and the seas. And He talks about the fowls of the air, the birds that are flying up there. He talks about the beasts of the earth and every creeping thing. And what does He say about them? Let me read it. Bring forth after His kind. That's being fruitful. And then man was created. Adam and Eve. And what's the direct command that God gives to them? Listen to it. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Can you see fruitfulness in all of these things that God's created? Everything. By the way, that is repeated in Genesis chapter 8, verse 17, and chapter 9, verse 7. And that's after the flood. Because when the flood came, it destroyed everything. The only animals, birds, and things that were left were what Noah brought on the ark. And when he turned them loose on dry ground after the flood waters were gone, he said to them, okay, be fruitful and multiply. And when Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives went off of that ark, the last thing God said to them there was, be fruitful and multiply. God looks for fruit. Now, when we think of fruit, We often think of works, don't we? Works. But works and fruit are not the same. Works is something you do. You can do works, but you cannot create fruit. The dresser of the vineyard said, I can get out there and I can dig around it and I can fertilize it and I can water it and do all such as that. But he said, I can't put any fruit on the limbs. The only one that can do that is that fig tree itself. It's got to produce the fruit. Fruit is something that is done to you. It's an accomplishment. The Bible speaks of a woman brings forth a child, and that child is called the fruit of the womb. The fruit of the womb. Fruitfulness. Now, a man can do works, but only life can produce fruit. And the fruit that God wants to see in us is what? The fruit of the Spirit. Read about it in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. I'll not take the time now to do it for you, but you read it. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Basically, the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ. Christ-likeness. What glorifies the Father is not when you're just busy, but when you are like Jesus. When you're conformed to the image of His Son. So after all of these years of being saved, of being a child of God, of being cultivated by the Holy Spirit and watered by the Word of God, is the fruit of Christ's character visible in your life? Are you more like Jesus? When I say this, don't take it the wrong way. I am certainly not bragging. I have been saved for 74 years. You would think by now I would have wings. But when you look at me, you don't even see a halo. 74 years, and I don't even have my wings yet. Well, the Lord examines us for progress. 3 years, this man had invested his resources into this fig tree, and he had absolutely nothing to show for it. His question was, why cumbereth it the ground? It's more trouble than it's worth. It isn't producing. It's just standing there taking up space. God has a right to expect a return on his investment. And He has given you blessings after blessings. He's given me blessings after blessings. He's got a lot invested in us. And so I don't think it's unreasonable for Him to expect to see some fruit. I was thinking this morning that, man, I've been in this pulpit here for 30-odd years. preaching. And with all the good preaching that you've heard during all of those years, Sunday after Sunday, let me ask you, are you at the same spiritual level that you were when you started, or maybe you've produced a little bit of fruit along the way? Don't make my life in vain. Don't make the work of Christ in vain. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. What a waste if you're still struggling with the same sins, if you still have the same problems and bad habits day after day, year after year. God put more labor into Israel than he has all the rest of the nations of the earth put together, and then some. He had a right to expect something from them. You check it out. You read your Old Testament and think about it. What more can God do for us to produce, to make us grow and be fruitful than he's already done? Now, somebody will look and say, well, the owner of that vineyard is God. He's wanting to cut that tree down and get it out of the way. This is not a parable about God who just can't wait to judge us. It's about a God who is long-suffering and merciful and patient and slow to anger. You and I are his children, and he loves us. Isn't 3 years enough? How many does it take? How many years have you had? I know how many I've had. And he gives us one more year after one more year, expecting and hoping that he will find some fruit in our lives. He's looking for progress in our spiritual lives. He's a gracious God that gives us more time. Now listen, if God comes looking at your fig tree, will he be pleased in what he sees in you? Will he be pleased at the progress of your spiritual life? Or would he be disappointed? I wonder sometimes how the Lord feels when he examines his years of investment in us. All of the time that he's put into us, all of the effort, all of the blessings, I'd hate for them to be wasted. Examine your own heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today and show you how you look in the eyes of God. Has it been a waste of his time? Don't make God waste his time. Let him produce fruit in us. Let's stand together, please. We'll have a word of prayer, a verse of invitation of a song this morning. Somebody today might need to come down and just kneel here at the front pew or something like that and make a commitment to God and ask God's forgiveness for the past and ask for his power in the future. Heavenly Father, you are our God. We're your tree. We've been planted in your vineyard. We pray, Father, that we might be fruitful. We don't want to be cut down. We want to produce fruit to your name's honor and glory. Let us examine ourselves, Father, in the light of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, and see how our lives stack up in your sight. And we repent of our sins and ask your forgiveness and ask for you to work in and through us to make us fruitful for Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Number 496.
496. Let's take the time to sing a verse of invitation. Somebody might need to come. Get their hearts right with God. He's calling today. Can you hear his voice? Thank you for being here this morning. Appreciate your presence. Really do. We look forward to seeing you at 6 o'clock this evening. Have a wonderful afternoon, and may God bless you richly. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Zimmerman, would you lead us, please, in our benediction this morning?